Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Gene Kelly, Debbie Reynolds, and Donald O'Connor singing and dancing their hearts out there in Hollywood's 1952 musical comedy, Singin' in the Rain. If you know nothing else about it, you've probably glimpsed the scene of Gene Kelly splashing, singing joyously in love through the downpour. It's a classic. Maybe we need it now, this hour on Point, Singin' in the Rain at 60. You can join the conversation. Admit it. Have you ever sung that tune, been lifted by it? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, and you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We're going to look this hour at the story of the film, how it came to be, what it's come to stand for. We've got three great film buffs here to help us do that. From Chicago, Michael Phillips, film critic for the Chicago Tribune. Michael, welcome back to On Point.
It's a pleasure, Tom.
From Philadelphia, Kerry Rickey with the Philadelphia Inquirer. Kerry, welcome back to you as well. Thanks for being here.
Greetings, Tom and Michael.
And from Brookings, South Dakota, Janine Basinger, chair of the Film Studies Department at Wesleyan University, author of The Star Machine, Silent Stars, and A Woman's View, How Hollywood Spoke to Women. Janine, it's Old Home Week here. Welcome back. Great to have you.
Hi, Tom. Hi, everybody. Hi, Carrie and Rick and Michael. It's good to be on.
It's great to have you all right here. And let me just ask it straight out right from the top. I mean, Carrie, this ends up at the top of so many lists of greatest films of all time, and it gets this label, greatest Hollywood musical ever. Why?
It's joyous. You said it in your intro. It's the ode to joy of Hollywood musicals, and it involves everyone. You can be 3 years old and love it. You can be 90 years old and love it. And it's one of those movies, if it's on cable, it's a click and stick. You're clicking around, and you got to watch it. Got to dance, got to watch it.
Michael, is it just that iconic scene of Gene Kelly with his umbrella folded up saying, "What the heck, I'm just going to dance in the rain"? Is that it? Is that what nails it as a classic, or is it the whole?
Almost everything about this film is fantastic, and every time I remake my, essential top 10 films of all time list, which is, never stays still and tends to shift around and titles come and go, but Singin' in the Rain for me always seems to remain in that top 10. And there's actually numbers, Tom, that I prefer to that title tune, but that title tune, if you really had to just pull three and a half minutes out of it and say, this is what you're in for, it's as bright, everything about the film is as bright as Gene Kelly's smile.
Yeah, which is about 10,000 watts. Janine, remind us of the story here, and in some ways we've been so recently reminded because it is kind of the same story that we saw in The Artist last year, the silent going to talkies, which did so well at the Academy Awards. And Janine, we've got a version of that right here in 1952, looking back to the late 20s.
Well, it's set right in that crisis point for Hollywood where sound took over from silent film. So it's a technological crisis, except that who's thinking that when you're watching it? I mean, it's so much fun. But it is that great, moment for Hollywood where change took place. And I think The Artist was really inspired partly by Singing in the Rain. But what you have is a wonderful comic possibility then with all the things that go wrong with the technology. So one of the great things about Singing in the Rain is that it has a truly funny script. And a lot of musicals don't have great scripts of the era. They have charming or small little scripts because it's really all about the music. But here the script and the performing and in every possible way is at optimum peak. It really is all systems go. I always say this is the musical for people who hate musicals. I mean, even if you hate musicals, you can't hate Singin' in the Rain. It's just too funny, too much fun, and too original. And it is set in an actual historical moment, which gives it, you know, a kind of grounding and credibility that makes it even more fun.
And it's got this, we know the classic song, but it's got Make 'em Laugh, sort of talk about over-the-top humor. Cosmo Brown, played by Donald O'Connor, cheers his best friend, Don Lockwood, that's Gene Kelly, of course, with this super impressive singing and dancing comedy routine. Michael Phillips, describe for us what we see as we listen to this unbelievable performance by Donald O'Connor.
O'Connor, I think the word was that he ended up in the hospital after filming this.
Well, he was smoking four packs a day, and this was super exuberant, climbing the walls.
Climbing the walls, and it's really a tour de force. It's the cheapest, lowest kind of physical humor brought to the most Olympian heights, and the tune itself, Make 'em Laugh, was a borderline plagiarism job, in that it was one of the songs actually I think composed for the film itself. Rather than pulled out of the trunk this is a songbook musical, we should say. It's by Arthur Freed, the producer, and Nuzio Brown, the lyricist, and the other songwriter. And this is a new one, and it's straight out of Be a Clown from The Pirate, a 1948 musical. MGM musical, right. So it was all stealing from one's own factory, in a sense. But I love Make 'em Laugh. I think even better for me are the two duets that O'Connor does with Kelly, Moses Supposes, in the elocution lesson, and Fit as a Fiddle, one of the vaudeville numbers earlier. And those to me are the purest pleasure the movie offers.
Pleasure. Let's just have a guffaw first, and it's a big one. Donald O'Connor, Make 'em Laugh.
Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Or you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My grandpa said go out and tell 'em a joke, but give it plenty of hope.
Make 'em laugh from Singin' in the Rain, and some days in the hospital, the story goes, after that got performed with all the physical humor that went into it. Carrie, what do you make of that one?
I've never seen, this is a movie with Gene Kelly, one of the great dancers of all time, and Donald O'Connor dances with a dummy, and it's sexy, it's funny. And I'm not going to say that the dummy is a better partner than Gene Kelly, but he does a lot with that dummy, and you fall on the floor like him. It's a slapstick comedy put to music.
These anniversaries come around again and again. 10 years ago, now we're at 60. 10 years ago at 50, you said, you know, there are truths that are self-evident, that Fred Astaire's a god and Gene Kelly a mere mortal, that movies with original songs are superior to those with potpourris, and that romantic dance numbers are inherently more satisfying because they resolve dramatic tension more satisfying than comic or chorus line combinations. And here is the opposite of all those, and yet you say this one nails it, Carrie.
It does. You know, Fred Astaire used to say that dancing is a perpendicular expression of a horizontal desire. And this movie totally disproves it. This movie says that dancing is about exuberance and spirit, and it's so infectious. And I don't know. This movie is so much a part of my life. I used to sing Good Morning to my daughters every morning. Moses Supposes when I was teaching them how to read.
Right.
It's just so much part of my life and everyone else's.
Let's get our callers in here. Sherry in New Orleans, Louisiana. Sherry, thanks for calling. What do you think?
Oh, hi, Tom. How are you?
Great.
I love Singin' in the Rain. I'm 36 years old, and I passed it on to my 21-year-old sister. We love Gene Hagen in the movie. She's my favorite baddie in the movie because she's so over-the-top stupid. I love her in the part where they're trying to transition her into the talkies and the sound coach is trying to teach her in the proper English accent
right
how to say, I can't stunned him. And then she said, I can't stand him.
Right, exactly.
So he's such an idiot. So I really love her. That's all I have to say about it.
Jean Hagen, absolutely. And playing that silent era film star, Janine, who just can't make the turn, as we saw in The Artist as well, to talkies, because behind all that blonde glamour, her voice just is fingernails on the blackboard, Janine.
It's so wonderful at that moment when everybody is talking about it, and all of a sudden she says, well, of course we talk, you know, and everybody suddenly realizes, wait a minute, what are we going to do about her? You know, the contradiction between her beauty on screen, yeah, and the romantic look, and then you add her squawking, hideous voice. And, you know, that's a great performance. I mean, that's just, you know, having this cast depth, you know, including Donald O'Connor, who I think is one of the really great underrated talents, Millard Mitchell to play, you know, the head of the studio, but Jean Hagen as Lena Lamont, I mean, that's a blue-chip performance thrown in. And you've got so much else, you know, that's positive, but you have that too. Just terrific.
You know, in 1952, there would still be viewers in the cinema, in the movie hall, who would remember that transition from talkies to sound, or from silent to talkies, I should say.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It wasn't that long ago, you know, and everybody remembered, you know, reading about stars whose careers were allegedly ruined by it, although actually not that many really were. But, you know, there were people whose looks didn't match, their voices didn't match their looks, like Vilma Bankey had a very heavy guttural voice and an accent, and she had a delicate, light, ethereal beauty, and I think they were sort of working off that with Jean Hagen.
Janine, hold the thought right there, if you would. Janine Basinger from Wesleyan University, Michael Phillips with the Chicago Tribune, Kerry Rickey with the Philadelphia Inquirer. We're talking this hour about maybe the greatest Hollywood musical of all time, Singing in the Rain. We'll come back and look at Gene Kelly's great dance sequence. 800-423-8255. Is this your fave among screen musicals? 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back, Singing in the Rain. Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour about maybe the greatest Hollywood musical of all time, Singing in the Rain, with Gene Kelly and Debbie Reynolds and more, at 60 this year. It's from 1952. Kerry Rickey of the Philadelphia Inquirer is here, Michael Phillips of the Chicago Tribune, Janine Basinger, author of The Star Machine and A Woman's View. You can join us. Is this your fave? Do we all still carry that image in our minds? Gene Kelly swinging on the lamppost, soaked with rain. And what's the big message here? Go with the joy of love. Live now. Don't let the rain slow you down. It's 60. How long can it endure? Go on. How many 20-somethings, 30-somethings have even seen it? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Here's a scene where Don Lockwood, played by Gene Kelly, leaps into a passing car to get away from adoring fans. He's been a silent film star. Turns out he's leaped into the car of young Kathy Seldon, played by Debbie Reynolds. She's 19 years old in this film. She pretends not to know who he is and then goes on to insult him once he tells her he's an actor.
Acting means great parts, wonderful lines, speaking those glorious words. Shakespeare, Ibsen.
Tell me, what's your lofty mission in life that lets you sneer at my humble profession?
Well, I'm an actress.
What?
On the stage.
Oh, on the stage. Well, I'd like to see you act. What are you in right now? I could brush up on my English or bring along an interpreter. That is, if they'd let in a movie actor.
Well, I'm not in a play right now, but I will be. I'm going to New York.
Oh, you're going to New York. And then someday we'll all hear of you, won't we? Kathy Seldon as Juliet, as Lady Macbeth, as King Lear. You'll have to wear a beard for that one, of course.
Oh, you can laugh if you want to, but at least the stage is a dignified profession.
Dignified.
And what have you got to be so conceited about? You're nothing but a shadow on film. A shadow.
A shadow. 19-year-old Debbie Reynolds. Danielle in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Danielle, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, you're on the air. What's your Singing in the Rain story?
Well, it's kind of too. I'm a 20-something. I'm 22 myself. It's funny that you just mentioned that.
Great.
But growing up, I spent a lot of time in the summer with my nanny, which is my grandmother, but we called her Nanny.
Sure.
And she would always sing to us "Good Morning" and "Singing in the Rain." And so as I grew older, every time it would rain, I would just hear her singing, and it would be in my head every time I stepped out in the rain. But I hadn't seen the movie. I didn't even know about the movie until my freshman roommate took a cinema class, and we watched Singing in the Rain, and then it suddenly made sense of why I grew up with these songs.
Singing in the Rain and Good Morning. Did your nanny sing that one too, Danielle?
Yes, she sang Singing in the Rain and Good Morning.
Oh, gosh. I mean, an awful lot of people of that generation did. I mean, I think it's just part of the mechanics of those minds. Let's put that one out there. Good morning. This is where Gene Kelly and Debbie Reynolds and Donald O'Connor, Gene's character Don, has had a poorly received premiere. They're up all night, and finally it's morning, and they celebrate.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
When the band began to play, the stars were shining bright.
Now the milkman's on his way. It's too late to say goodnight.
So good morning. Good morning. Sunbeams will soon smile through. Good morning. Good morning to you
and you. Good morning, we've gabbed the whole night through. Good morning to you.
Nothing could be grander than to be in Louisiana
in
the morning.
In the morning, it's great to stay up late. Good morning.
There's it's morning. They're singing, they're dancing, they're tapping in the kitchen. I mean, Janine, you know, how many times did I hear people on a morning sing this over the decades?
I know. It's built in all of us. It's joy. And the tap number, the number they do is spectacular. I mean, all traveling around doing these wonderful things involving props. It's amazing. This movie is just pure, as Carrie said, joy. There's not a dead moment in it. There's not a time when you say, I'll go get popcorn. It's just fun. And the numbers are all, every single one of them, good. Usually you have a couple of great numbers and some slower ones. But Good Morning is one that just sticks in your head forever, and you sing it to your kids. I think the movie, most people nowadays meet the movie through somebody singing it to them when they're a kid, and then they find the movie on screen, as the caller did later, which is really quite wonderful.
Carrie, describe for us where this movie came in the arc of Hollywood musical making. I mean, MGM was sort of all geared up here. You had all kinds of expertise and talent ready to go on a film like this.
Well, it's interesting. It came in the post-war period. Suddenly a lot of composer and lyricists were wanted to have their songbooks out there. So you got movies like Night and Day about Cole Porter. George Gershwin. You got Words and Music about Rodgers and Hart. And Arthur Freed, who was head of the MGM Musicals unit, said, hey, I want to get my songbook out there. So he had written a lot of songs for MGM musicals, including the first sound musical, which was called Broadway Melody. And he wanted to get his songbook out there, so he hired Betty Comden and Adolph Green, who had worked on Good News and On the Town. And they really didn't want to do it. They were lyricists themselves. They really weren't crazy about the songs. They basically had to be dragged contractually to do this. And they thought, well, the music he'd written, his songbook was set in the late 20s, early 30s. Mm-hmm. Let's do something in that period. And what's interesting is that the spoof of movie makers in 1927 coping with new technology and the birthing pains of talkies is, A, newly the beneficiary of technologies never imagined back in 52, and that's timeless because we're always dealing with new technologies.
Sure.
And change. And this movie puts a really happy face on it and says you can solve these problems and be better.
That's a great point, Carrie, because in a way, the movie came out in 52, and in a way, at that point, Hollywood was already dealing with its own kind of technological revolution, and that you had this upstart television that was starting to slowly eat away at the profits of the movie studios.
Right.
And that didn't spell good news for the movie musical genre, because more that the emphasis was much more on spectacle and CinemaScope and getting the biggest, widest image you could. Mm-hmm. None of that was particularly good for this form. And Singin' in the Rain is in a way kind of the last of a great streak. Maybe The Bandwagon the year after that. That's the only other movie musical, I think, that I have the same affection, the same degree of affection for.
It was one year after An American in Paris. Gene Kelly's great, and of course won an Oscar for that. But it came before, Michael, the whole Blacklist, Red Scare, Hollywood Blacklist really got big and maybe would have pulled some of the joy out of this. Hollywood got a lot darker pretty soon.
Yeah, and Kelly himself ran into a little bit of a problem because he was a Hollywood liberal and was associated with some causes that weren't particularly popular then. Mm. But that what you mentioned, American in Paris, that is that one Best Picture laden with Oscars. Singin' in the Rain, no Oscars, completely unpretentious, a modest, a solid hit for MGM, mm-hmm. not a big hit, was not considered a – this film was not considered any kind of sum-it-up classic or, it was nothing more than a good time for most of the people who saw
it. And that was its joy, really. I mean, An American in Paris consciously said – this we could make art out of mm-hmm. musicals. We could put in a ballet. We
and they did.
A higher, loftier thing going on it. And Singin' in the Rain said, we can still have fun. It's interesting that all the seeds of destruction that would ultimately take down the Hollywood studio system were in place in 1952. I mean, the closing of theaters, the divestment of theaters, the HUAC investigations, mm-hmm. television, the influx of foreign films that changed people's attitudes and desires for film. They were all there, but they hadn't yet eaten the business, and you could still have this wonderfully unpretentious movie that just said, let's go out and give people a fun musical, and that's what it will be. That technological issue is interesting because, of course, that's an inspiration for the artist, as now we're having all this technological change, and certainly the business is facing it and not knowing what to do about it. So there is a good parallel there.
Let's go right to the big title number, Singin' in the Rain. Of course, this is where Don Lockwood, Gene Kelly, he drops off Kathy Seldon. This is, again, 19-year-old Debbie Reynolds at her house. And they may have had a little friction at the beginning, but they're obviously in love now. Here's the dialogue that takes place just before Gene Kelly goes out into that back lot with the tarp over it to make it look like night with the rain coming down, and he hits his big song and dance. But here's the dialogue.
Good night, Kathy. See you tomorrow.
Good night, Don. Take care of that throat. You're a big singing star now, remember? This California dew is just a little heavier than usual tonight.
Really? From where I stand, the sun is shining all over the place.
California dew, Debbie Reynolds calling it right there. The rain is sluicing down. Gene Kelly goes right into it. He's got that umbrella, and he just closes her up and says, what the heck, I'm in love. Here's the iconic song and dance.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk.
And off he goes, and it is movie history, swinging from the lamppost, and just the water comes down heavier and heavier, and he's happier and happier. Terry, Michael, Janine, talk to us about what's going on here. The dance, the song, the man, the mood he creates here. I mean, this just sticks in the American songbook and mind like crazy. I mean, Michael, what's he producing here? What's he tapping? How's he do it?
Well, I think we have here... God, I just love hearing this again.
Yeah, you know,
how many?
Yeah,
what have I heard it 150 times? It's pure artifice. You know, we have this completely hermetic backlot situation. It's just the oldest kind of setup in the world.
Yeah.
You know, a guy in love. How do you express it? I think what we've talked a little bit about this so far, but what I think the reason this film sticks, as you say, is that it is just so. Purely kinetic. It is a tap dance based musical. It's nothing but high spirits, and you don't feel that it's manufactured high spirits. You just feel that it's a showcase for artists who, and it is a riot of color and movement, and it is beautifully directed by Stanley Donen and Gene Kelly. It doesn't have that kind of heavy on its feet feeling that some MGM musicals, especially those that were based on stage properties, did. It is pure cinema, and you know, the other great detail about that title number, Tom, is that that's not water, that's milk. It's a mixture of milk and water because it photographed better.
Yeah,
and
it showed up better.
Yeah, it did. And
Gene Kelly's got a fever and still dancing for days to get this done.
He's an 101 fever, but I think Tom, why it works so well is that it brings out the childish joy in everyone. Everyone has wanted to kind of splash in a puddle. And, you know, make fun of policemen and just use a lamp pole as a dance partner. That's
absolutely
kind of universal and universal kid.
Let's hit it a little more here. Here he comes back in. He's tap dancing through all these puddles. He stands under the downspout where it's just coming down like Niagara, and then goes tap dancing again before the policeman shows up and gives him the eye like, what are you doing, man? And you hear him go off in the distance. A little more from that great song and dancing. Here's more dance. Janine, what's it tapping emotionally here? Because this is joy, the joy of love, but it's also kind of defiance of, you know, obstacles, of rain. Now, who cares how tough it is?
That's it. It just all feels like release. And one of the great things about it that, you know, that is a tribute to Kelly and Donen is the fabulous camera movement. I mean, it's kinetic. It keeps moving of its own. The camera moves directly into the frame. It moves all around, and it adds life to the dance. It makes you feel... as a viewer, as if you're inside the dance and doing it yourself.
Let's catch his last line right here.
Dancing and singing in the rain.
Marilyn in Chesapeake, Virginia. Marilyn, you're on the air.
I just wanted to concur with everything that's been said about this movie. I was a 10-year-old in 1952 sitting in a small theater in a small town in Missouri, and I remember this picture, everything about it, and it does invoke all that wonderful smiling, and everybody wanted to be a tap dancer and be Gene Kelly or like Gene Kelly, and it just never ceases to put a smile on my face when I hear the music from
Does it pick you up? Wonderful. Do you hum it on a happy day or a day when you need to be happy, Marilyn?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't help it, you know. It's just one of those movies. It was the best one. It was the best musical I ever saw, and believe me, I bet I saw the biggest part of every musical that was ever made. Because I went to the movies every time the movie changed. It was only 10 cents to go to the movies back then.
10 cents so, in DeSoto, you know, Missouri in 1952. Marilyn was 10 years old. And it brought her and millions of others in, and it just kept doing it ever since. We're going to look at a lot more. We're going to hear when we come back with Gene Kelly's, well, the wife, now widow, Patricia Kelly, will be with us here. Carrie Rickey, Michael Phillips, Gene Basinger, it's great to have all of you with us. We're talking about maybe the greatest musical, Hollywood musical of all time, Singing in the Rain at 60. Listeners, you can join us. What's amazing in this film, this classic? What's important to take from it? Would Gene Kelly be a star today on Dancing with the Stars? Somewhere else. 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
dance.
Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour about maybe the greatest Hollywood musical of all time, Singin' in the Rain, at 60 this year, made in 1952, and a lot of people still watching, still doing their own Singin' in the Rain dance when nobody's watching, or maybe when they are. Gene Basinger is with us, author of The Star Machine, Silent Stars. Michael Phillips is here, film critic for the Chicago Tribune, and Kerry Rickey, critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer. You can join us as well, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. We're going to hear in just a second from Patricia Kelly. Here's a little bit of dialogue from the film. After attending a poorly received preview screening of The Dueling Cavaliers, Don, played by Kelly, Cosmo Brown, played by Donald O'Connor, and Kathy Seldon, 19-year-old Debbie Reynolds, all sit at Don's lavish house and Singin' in the Rain, watching the rain out the window. Don says, Gene Kelly says, his career is over.
Well, take a last look at it. It'll be up for auction in the morning.
Oh, you're out of your mind. Signed it Saturday. No bank's going to foreclose until Monday.
It wasn't so bad.
Well, that's what I've been trying to tell him.
No, there's no use kidding myself. Once they release The Dueling Cavalier, Lockwood and Lamont are through. Picture's a museum piece. I'm a museum piece.
Well, things went wrong with the sound if you just get the technical end straightened out.
No, it wasn't that. Look, this is sweet of both of you, but something happened to me tonight. Well, everything you ever said about me is true, Kathy. I'm no actor. I never was. Just a lot of dumb show. I know that now.
Gene Kelly, Debbie Reynolds, Donald O'Connor, way before the artist. Nina in Waterbury, Connecticut. Nina, thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm a middle school, high school theater director in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Great.
And my students just finished doing a senior showcase, Singing in the Rain, on stage.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they loved and what this movie brings to people of all ages, especially our new younger generation coming up, is we talked about Debbie Reynolds being 19 in this movie.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is 17 and 18-year-olds. They just found such pure energy in embodying the characters and watching the film and being together on stage. It was just phenomenal. And they all want to be Gene Kelly now, including my 3-year-old son, who runs around the house doing make-a-muff and jumping on my couches, unfortunately.
So it's playing with the teenage set 60 years later. I love hearing that, Nina, and good you for putting it on with them. And thanks for your call. Let me go to New York right now and Patricia Kelly, writer and widow of Gene Kelly. They were married from 1990 until Gene Kelly's death in 1996. She was, I think, 23 when they married. He was 71. But it worked out really great. She collaborated with him on his memoirs, is currently working on a book about Gene Kelly. Patricia, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
How did Gene think about this film among all his films, American in Paris and everything else? How did he think about this one?
Well, I think when it's interesting when you think about it, when this movie first came out, no one really thought it would be anything, and I think that that's the way they were looking at all of the movies at that time. They came out of American in Paris, and Gene said that they all thought that was the sine qua non of the American musical.
Yeah.
But they never really envisioned that people would be watching these even a year or two later, and much less 60 years later.
He was famously, in all the tellings of the making of this movie, and not just this movie, but he was a taskmaster. I mean, he was a great dancer. He expected a lot. Debbie Reynolds, the story goes, was so abashed under his, taskmastership that Fred Astaire found her crying under a piano and gave her some tips.
Well, there's an awful lot of mythology about this movie, and that was one of the things I have Gene's annotated comments about it, and he would go through it. And one of the things, and I have to correct this one, there is no milk in the water.
Oh, you're kidding. It's
no, absolutely not.
No kidding?
And that was what I was going to open with that because Gene called it errata, and it drove him crazy. And
it's just absolutely
superb cinematography and lighting. It was very, very difficult to light the raindrops without the lighting showing up in the glass of the windows.
Sure.
And so it was, the analogy Gene always used was that if you see rain at a football game, if you look down at the field, you don't see the raindrops, and you tilt up and you see the rain against the light. So it just was an extraordinary challenge. But there's no milk in the water. There's no gum on the in the one sequence with Debbie Reynolds. And Gene's called a taskmaster. I think the word professional is probably more appropriate. I think that the dancers understand the kind of precision and dedication that's required for this. I mean, they had to hit their marks, and she was not a dancer coming into this, and worked very hard to learn how to keep up with everything. So, I think it's I think Gene always wanted. He's described as a perfectionist, and he always thought that was a little bit odd that suddenly had taken kind of a derogatory cast that doing things right. And one of the reasons I think we're still watching this 60 years later is because of that kind of dedication and pursuit of excellence.
He did it so right. There was the famous documentary a few years back, Gene Kelly, Anatomy of a Dancer. They talk, and I wonder what he thought about this, about the Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly kind of yin and yang here. With Gene, your husband for those years, is the exciting, the masculine. Kelly is the anti-Astaire. Fred Astaire is grace. Gene Kelly is energy. Fred Astaire is poise. Gene Kelly is power. Fred ethereal. Gene earthy. Would he have bought that kind of contrast, Patricia?
Well, I think they were always compared, and Gene always says it was apples and oranges. And I think the most important distinction is really that Astaire was continuing a European tradition of dance. It was really more the ballroom dancing, and Gene's whole determination was to really break with that European tradition and create a particularly American style of dance. And it's interesting, I was on several shows with Rita Moreno last week, and she described it as that he had created a new dance vocabulary, and that's really what he set out to do and what he really wanted to be known for doing. He wasn't so concerned about being a performer. He actually preferred to be behind the camera and to create these works and choreograph them. And so what you see, he did create, and I have his handwritten choreography for that famous number that you just played. And I think that it's very important to see him in that position and in that role.
Janine, what about Gene Kelly's character, his physicality in this title song and dance?
I think that he brings something just to it that makes it seem like an ordinary guy can get up and dance. He doesn't seem to be out of the tuxedoed, you know, as Patricia says, European tradition. He seems like a guy.
Working class guy from Pittsburgh, in fact, and a little bit of that stuck with him, even when he's doing this amazing dancing, though, Janine.
And he was sexy. I mean, everybody was in love with him. I mean, all of my girlfriends, all of us, we all adored him. I mean, he was a guy. He was somebody that you thought, well, maybe you could actually meet this guy, and maybe he would actually dance with you. And it wasn't a fantasy. It wasn't as fantastical with him. He was more earthy. But, you know, I think his contribution is to dance on film can never be overstated, because he really put the cinema in it. He involved the camera in his choreography, which is part of what gives it that incredible energy.
Sure.
I mean, and he's really one of the most important figures in American musical history that regard.
As truly great as Fred Astaire was, Gene Kelly didn't make it look hoity-toity when it did. This wasn't Top Hat. Tom in Waynesboro, Virginia. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I just wanted to say, the Singing in the Rain thing had an interesting side, and it's talking about energy. I was in pararescue training for the United States Air Force during the Vietnam War.
Okay.
And it's very exhaustive training. I don't know if anyone knows about it, but it's very exhaustive
I bet.
To make that.
Yeah.
And it had been raining for 3 days, and we were all exhausted. And somebody in the group started Singing in the Rain, the song, and we all started. I didn't start it, but somebody did. And a couple of guys that were getting ready to drop out, because all you had to do was quit.
Yeah.
And everybody stayed in after that song. I don't know. It maybe brought everybody up or what, but everybody in that group made it there.
the song
it's
took
the great
through.
Mood elevator in American film.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, it was tough training. If you look it up online sometime, RSV training, it's not for the weak hearted. I look back on it now, it probably killed me now. But, it helped us that night. It really did.
Tom, we're glad you pulled through and glad the song helped. I mean, Michael Phillips, I think there must have, in a certain generation or two or three, almost everybody has looked for that moment in their life when they sort of do their own little version of Gene Kelly's Dance in the Rain somewhere, some night on a lit street.
Yeah, I think to the caller's point, that song and what this movie and what Kelly's really sort of about, it's just nothing but pure athletic grace in motion, and you watch this film and the performance in it, and you just, it's like watching any great set of athletes do their thing.
Yeah, no,
you know, it's like something that you feel inside when you're sitting and watching is actually physicalized for you so effectively that you feel it physically. I mean, and that's why this movie never dies. It just never dies. It doesn't date. It doesn't. It's not pretentious. It's alive. The movie is actually alive, and it's quite miraculous. Really.
Well, I'd add a couple things there that I think Janine had a really excellent point about Gene's use of the camera, because that was his preeminent focus, and the notion that choreographing for the film was very, very different from choreographing for the stage. And he decided to quite literally take the dance into the streets. And there was a method to his madness, which was that if you're constantly moving toward the camera, you can have the sense of kinetic energy, which begins to dispel the problem that you have, that you've taken a three-dimensional art form of dance and reduced it to a two-dimensional medium. So you, by constantly moving at the camera as he does in the Singing in the Rain number, you don't have a sense of flatness. I don't think audiences are aware of that.
And
one of the reasons I think it holds up so much is that the dance is all very, very contemporary. I don't think you feel yourself thinking, oh, that's definitely 1920s.
Not at all.
And I think freestyle. That's why young people are still inspired by it.
Michael?
I think Patricia, I love hearing about the what Kelly was up to with the camera, because Don and Vincent Minnelli, the other great MGM director of the time of musicals, they knew how to make the, and this has been said before, but they knew how to make the camera a dance partner, not just simply an observer. And today, I think too often directors, when they're filming musicals, whether they're based on original material or not, it's more about like we'll jazz it up in the editing,
and yeah. it's all collage and little quick cuts. It's not the whole thing.
And a lot of it is just disguising the deficiencies of the performers.
Interesting. That's what Adam Shankman said that they do, that it's covering up the problem. So instead of doing what Astaire and Kelly insisted on and showing the dance full figure and having cuts, Gene always used one camera or preferred to use one, and he said he edited in the can. He edited in the camera, so you had the pieces fit together like puzzle pieces. And you don't chop up the body parts. It's completely impotent if you just see a hand or a head or a...
And yet that's what it is so often today. Rob in Cuscob, Connecticut. Rob, thanks for calling. You're on the air, Rob.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I had a college radio show in Burlington, Vermont, at University of Vermont, back in the mid-70s. And the show went on at 6 a.m. in the morning. And the song that I chose to start the show was Singing in the Rain. And the way I came to that song was in a film history class when I heard it twice, once in the movie Singing in the Rain, and then later in Kubrick's Clockwork Orange.
Where he puts it behind a really horrifying rape scene.
Absolutely.
Thanks for bringing us down, okay?
Well, but that's quite true. Many people have mentioned it online, and yet, it's in its own weird way, it's a testament to the power of the song, because the contrast of that joy against the horror of that rape, Carrie, made the whole scene that much more clangingly disturbing, exactly what Kubrick was going for.
And Gene was, there's another little myth about that, and actually I had an opportunity to correct it with Malcolm McDowell, because he often talked about how Gene dissed him at a party following that movie, and I said he wasn't angry with you, it's just that Kubrick was a friend, and Kubrick didn't even come to Gene to, let alone ask permission, but he didn't pay him for it. And
oh.
So, and Malcolm said, well, that's interesting. He didn't pay me either. So that corrects that a little bit.
Hey, Patricia, he was your husband. Did he have that thing actually in him? I mean, what's acting and what's Gene Kelly when he's singing in the rain?
That's so funny. People often ask me if Gene ever did any acting. And I think, what do you think he's doing up there on the screen? And I think there's always a kind of confusion about the guy up there who is as carefully choreographed. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not the guy at home. I mean, Gene was this very, very cerebral guy who preferred to stay home and read a book and do the New York Times crossword in ink, and he spoke French and Italian and Latin and Yiddish and read a book a day, and so the contrast is very, very distinct. I mean, he was a creation, and he's definitely acting. It's funny, they don't think that singing and dancing is acting, and...
Oh, we think it is. We think he was 71, you were 23. Could you dance with him, Patricia?
I was 31 when we got married, so you give me a couple more years.
Okay.
But, and he lied about my age. He added 5 years and made me 36.
Did you go out dancing?
Shouldn't we be saying happy birthday, Gene?
Oh, that's right. 100 years.
Yes, August 23rd, he would be 100, and we're celebrating that. I'm taking the position that it's not Gene Kelly dead in 100, but Gene Kelly cool and still relevant and still just inspiring young people right and left. And I think that's the way to look at him, and really to look at the legacy and look at his contribution in changing the look of dance on film. I think that's how he wanted to be remembered, and it's nice to hear people talking about that.
Cool and alive in our minds as possibly can be at 100. Patricia Kelly, writer, widow of Gene Kelly, thanks for joining us from New York, Patricia.
Thank you so much.
Kerry Rickey, Michael Phillips, Janine Basinger, it's great to have had you all with us today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Nice to talk with all of you.
Great to have you all. Singing in the Rain at 60. Listeners, thanks for joining us. Let's go out with a little more. Gene Kelly singing and doing that great dancing. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thanks for joining us.
I walk down the lane with a happy refrain. Just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain. Yeah. I'm happy again. I'm singing. Dancing in the
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.